For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office's Sports Zone at Summerfest.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust. Woo! Presented by Bud Light.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
He is big time Ben Brust. I am Greg Scalzo, a mere 8 days away until Ben Brust will be competing not only for guarding against cancer and the money that will be raised if Ben and his team wins in the charity shootout coming up right next to us at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Sports Zone. 8 days away, you, Brevin Pritzel, and Keaton Mankavell representing the Motion W, representing Madison, representing the University of Wisconsin and Badgers all across the world. How are we feeling?
I feel great because yesterday I had a chance to go see the team captains from each team, UW Green Bay, UW Milwaukee, Marquette, and we did a little bit of media. And when we're talking about this being an outdoor event, I brought up the factor that there might be wind, and Travis Diener started shaking in his boots. I grew up shooting outside. I grew up on a slanted driveway.
Cool.
My brother and I, when shooting, we'd shoot in zero-degree weather because we always talked about shooting with the elements. It's not always going to be perfect. So I am prepared whether it is raining, whether it is sunny, whether it is windy. I will adjust to the elements, and I will make sure our team is not going to use the wind as excuses and going to come out on top.
Sounds like confidence from Ben Brust. Scalzo and Brust presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. You, the Scalzo and Brust family, calling us, texting us, 800-990-3776. That's the First Midwest Bank talking text line. First Midwest Bank, the vision of old National Bank. Ben, you look very perplexed. What's going on?
I hear, like, music in the background. Do you hear that?
I do. Josh, what were you playing in
the
background?
What the heck was that?
You know what? I thought that was music behind you guys. Apparently, there was a pop-up ad here that played from Homer and Tony.
So we're listening to a pop-up ad here.
Across ESPN Wisconsin.
I legitimately thought it was
give yourself a round of applause. Round of applause, everybody.
I actually thought it was the background music, too, until I listened more closely and I realized
that is not playing at Summerfest.
Yes. I'm like, wow, it's quieter here than it actually is inside of our headsets. Ben Brust, always
astute.
Very astute.
Astute, yes. Listener.
Attention to detail is amongst his many strengths. The news of the day today, the Big Ten looks to be expanding, at least for now, by two. USC, UCLA joining the Big Ten. Announcement going to be finalized this afternoon, but this just the tip of the iceberg, as the reporting tells us that many other Pac-12 schools will follow suit as college football continues to aggregate their best conferences into what I believe will end up being a couple of power conferences. I think that
power conferences, because we used to call them the power conferences, the Power Five. Now it's just like two power conferences. I don't know if that's a good name, though.
I think you could come up with a better name for a power conference in your words.
Legends and Leaders, you know? Remember that horrible mistake?
For those that don't know, when the Big Ten first split into what is now the Big Ten East and the Big Ten West, it was not split by geography. It was hand-picked, the divisions, and they were entitled the Legends Division and the
Leaders. Who would want to be in the Leaders Division, not the Legends Division?
Well, Legends implies that you're looking back to the past. Leaders implies you're looking forward to the future.
So but would you rather be a leader or a legend?
I would rather be a leader.
No, I want to be a legend.
Yeah, but you're a legend for what you accomplished in the past. You're a leader for what you're about to accomplish.
But so we're like all going to be in the past. So
Nebraska is a legend, but not a leader.
No, they're not a legend. Their legendary status is losing by the day as long as they continue their football program.
But that's my point, is legendarily they are one of the top football programs in the entire history of the NCAA.
I digress. I mean, we don't need to get into a legends versus leaders debate. I mean,
But you can't when you're losing an argument.
No. I'm winning the argument.
Not even
put
close.
Put it on the poll on Twitter at @SkalzoBrust.
Just calm down. Joshy, is it fair to just try in the middle of a conversation where you're clearly losing to just say, I digress, to try to end it? Because that, to me, was one of the great, like, Ben just wanted to move on, and in the middle of me talking, he just says, I digress.
Yeah, I mean, he realized he lost. He said, what's the quickest parachute out of here? And he said the I digress, so you could hopefully trick you into just moving past it.
All right, we'll move on. Is this a good thing or a bad thing for the Badgers? That's all we care about. We're Badgers here on Scalzo and Brust. Is it a good thing or a bad thing for Wisconsin to add UCLA, USC to the Big 10 and to continue to expand that conference? The likes of Stanford expected to join as well, and Oregon, Kansas, TCU also mentioned as potential Big 10 adds.
Well, I think it's a bad thing for the Badgers because basically the golden era of having the Big Ten West, and it'll be again, a lot of this is still yet to be determined. Conference alignment, who plays who officially joins. But as it stands right now, let's just pretend it stands right now. Logically, it would make sense to put UCLA and USC in the West Division. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. My point is you're adding more programs to the Big Ten, and the Badgers have had a great run of success in the Big Ten, but when you bring in bigger name programs, they're going to be able to supply NIL deals to UCLA and USC better than they probably will for the Badgers. The competition rises, and look, the Badgers will always be the Badgers. I think they're going to be in the mix, but it has been an easy cakewalk in the Big Ten West every single year, and when the Badgers don't win it, it's because of their own fault. And now it's going to be because there's probably likely more competition in their conference.
For such a winner in life, I'm shocked that you have this loser's mentality. Because you're going into it thinking, well, once you add these other teams in, the Badgers won't get better, they'll get worse.
You can't even beat the Pac-12 in Rose Bowl games.
Let me finish. The idea that the Big Ten is one of the two conferences that are adding and not one of the conferences that is losing is a good thing, number one. Number two, USC and UCLA brings more money to the conference, which means more money that Wisconsin can use in order to, let's be honest, pay players in today's world of NIL. And three, the Badgers have always dealt with any of this change remarkably well because they don't need to do it the way that other programs do it. And we're talking more specifically on football right now. Basketball presents a whole nother challenge. It's not like UCLA and USC as of late have been recognized as great basketball schools.
UCLA just went to the Final Four 2 years ago.
2 years ago, but like consistency hasn't been there.
I mean, they have a good coach, and I'm not going to get down to UCLA. I think they're going to be a really good program for the next 5-10 years.
And we heard that before, right? And then Kevin Love came, and UCLA was coming back, and then you had the Lonzo Ball year, and then like they've been up and down pretty consistently, but the Badgers have as well. I think that you want to be in the big leagues. This establishes that Wisconsin is going to be in the big leagues, and in a conference where they're comfortable, and a confident, in a conference where they have tradition, and a conference in which they have been great. You don't want to have to be one of these teams now. Like, if you're the Pac-12, and you're looking around as a Stanford, you're like, crap, we got to jump ship to a new conference. You don't want to be left behind. The Badgers are already part of the cool kids. They've got friends at the table.
That's
They're
great.
Adding people to their table. That is a net good thing for the Wisconsin Badger program, and I have confidence in Paul Chryst and in Greg Card and in the University of Wisconsin that they will rise with the tide and not drown from it. And I'm shocked that you, representing the Badgers 8 days from now, are kind of looking at this thinking that the tide is rising is actually going to drown a Badger program that has been amongst the most consistent in both of those sports, football and basketball, over the last 20 years.
Maybe I'm a little bit fixated on something that like just epitomizes the Badger football program, right? The 2017 Big Ten title game in Indianapolis. A chance to beat Ohio State, have the ball, Alex Hornibrook, you're 12-0, you have a chance to go 13-0 and go to the college football playoff. Like, the Badgers have never, like, again, it's they're one of the cool kids, but they're not the coolest kid. They've never been the coolest kid. They're, like, they're hanging out with the cool kids.
No, they have been the coolest kid in the conference before. It doesn't happen often, though.
Again.
Ohio State. This is
It's Ohio State's conference.
Ohio State's conference.
Exactly. And so my point is, if you add more, and the Badgers never really were able in the last 7 years. I mean, they had a great run with Brett Bielema, winning three straight Big Ten titles, going to the Rose Bowl. But that was 10 years ago. Now we're in an era where, like, again, I'm not that confident about the Badger football program right now. I love Jimmy Leonard, but like, it feels like we're back into. Graham Mertz isn't the answer, so the offense kind of has taken a step backwards the last 2 years.
We were one Caleb Williams transfer away from being declaring.
Because we're not cool.
Let me finish. Declaring this school, this team, as national championship contenders. One quarterback away, and here you are just giving up, cowering on the floor, putting yourself in the fetal position and saying, Daddy, I can't do this. USC and UCLA. It's freaking USC and UCLA. There's been no bigger disappointments in college football and college basketball, respectively, in the last 20 years than those two programs. And you're shaking in your boots because they're coming into our house. They're coming into the Big Ten. They're coming to Camp Randall to play football in November. And you're worried that USC and UCLA are going to dominate the Badgers? What world are you living in? Forget about Graham Mertz. Think about the next guy.
Wow, for those on stream on Twitter at Scalzo and Brust, I just had a rain fall of spit come
on. I'm sorry,
my face.
There was a little bit of.
It's okay. Yeah. I loved every second of it. Wait, that was weird.
That's what she said.
Look, it's the one thing. It's the one thing that I do as this guy's giving you knuckles, and I just want to feel a part of it. Thank you. You're right, and I'll admit it. And you know, I think you know this about me. When it comes to Badger football, it's the one place that I let my heart go, where I love the team so much and I want to see so much success for the program, that anytime there's a little bit of conflict, I run away from that conflict. And here it is. Here I am making excuses for something that I don't really want to believe, but I also haven't had the last 5 years make me feel that great about the program since that final drive against Ohio State, where they had a chance to go to the college football playoff. We've been in the conversation. We win the West, but we also haven't. Northwestern's won it twice in the last 5 years. Think about that.
Iowa's won
it.
But I would rather be in the big leagues with the chance to win big than I would be as an afterthought.
Yeah,
and
that's
I think
fine.
Those additions in general make me feel good.
Like, I want to flex the muscles more the last 5 years, so we're heading into this cooler kid era being actually cool. I think we're hanging on to a thread as a cool kid.
800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. We'll open up the phone lines. USC, UCLA going to be joining the Big Ten. Is that a good or a bad thing for the Wisconsin Badgers? We'll open up the phone line. Ryan in Miguanigo says, Ben is so weak. Line him up. Knock him down. Not afraid of anyone. The best teams will win on Wisconsin. Chris in Jefferson says, when the tides rise, so do the ships. Get them, Greg. And I didn't mean to get you. I just knew I had to get you pumped up.
Yeah.
And realize
I'm easily swayed when it comes to the Badger allegiance.
That is the one that you care the most about. Good or bad thing that the Badgers will be playing in conference against USC and UCLA as soon as 2024-2025. 800-990-3776. We'll take your calls next on Scalzo and Bruss, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
Someone bring me a towel to wipe this spit off.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo, and Bruss.
He has been recreated. He's been this guy forever.
He stopped trying to roll out of the pocket. He plays within the system.
It is such hogwash right now.
It is 100% not hogwash.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Bruss podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grateful Dead Thursday on Scalzo and Bruss. We are presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light, and we are live at the big gig at Summerfest. He is Benny Badger, Ben Bruss. I'm Greg Scalzo. You, the Scalzo and Bruss family, calling us, texting us, 800-990-3776. That's the first Midwest Bank talking text line, First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. You could also get us on Twitter at Scalzo and Bruss. USC, UCLA joining the Big Ten. Big Ten expansion in the same way. SEC added Texas A&M, added Texas, and is going to continue
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma going to continue to add teams. The Big Ten getting in that mix as well. Stanford, TCU, amongst others, being considered to get into the Big Ten as college football continues to become.
Did you say Oregon too?
Oregon as well.
That's Stanford, TCU, and Oregon. Three schools that the Badgers lost to in the Rose Bowl in three straight years are joining us.
Do you know how bad?
I know how bad
Stanford
they are now.
Has been.
I know.
TCU got
Stanford
rid of
was
Gary
like the
Patterson.
Worst Power Five team in the.
And TCU was only Gary Patterson, and he's gone. Now.
I know. I'm living in the past.
You are living in the past a little bit, but the additions of those teams, good or bad, for the Wisconsin Badgers. Ben Brust is intimidated by the programs coming into the conference. He thinks it's a bad thing. I believe it's a great thing.
I think I'm intimidated that the Badgers are not keeping up in a way that I would love for them to.
Joel in Fitchburg says, I love the Scalzo rant.
It's been a while.
If you missed that, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand. There you can catch the Scalzo and Bruss podcast. You can find us wherever you get your podcast. But make sure you download Wisconsin On Demand. You can click one button, boom, stream us live. Catch the podcast for us and the other fantastic shows across ESPN Wisconsin. Joel in Fitchburg continues, future Big Ten teams will not stop Wisconsin eligibility requirements like Caleb Williams and Ohio State are all Wisconsin football need to worry about. Caleb Williams was not an eligibility issue. Caleb Williams was a money issue. That's where the Wisconsin Badgers need to evolve as a university, as an athletic department, is how do they continue to compete with the best teams in the nation, or at least that next tier, to be able to afford some of the players that are going to get paid. Michigan is struggling with it right now, and they've got a boatload of money.
Let me present an idea to you. So if we are going to do the conference expansion, right? The SEC is the Southeastern Athletic Conference or Southern what is it?
What are you saying?
What does the SEC stand for? Southern?
Guess.
I said Southeastern Conference?
Nailed it.
Okay. Now, if the Big Ten is going to expanding, it's already ridiculous that there was 14 teams and it's still called the Big Ten.
And now it's going to be 16.
Why don't we call it the BIG? Like the SEC, the BIG? Like, it's big. I love it. I don't know why you don't love this. I think it's sweet.
But what does it stand for?
B-I-G, big.
I know,
just the big conference.
You just said the SEC stands for the Southeastern Conference. What is the big conference stand for?
I didn't think that far.
So. I'm tracking with you. I'll give you a little bit of time. I like the concept. The logo would look cool. They do need to change. If you've got 20 teams in the Big Ten.
You can't do the Big Ten.
But they have been for a long time.
I get that. Time for a rebrand.
With the 14.
Time for a rebrand.
I mean, at some point, it's just going to become a full-on, again, super conference one way, super conference the other, and we're going to have two massive conferences with a boatload of teams competing at a very high level, and it will continue to be the influence of professional sports over college athletics, but at least the Badgers are part of one of those conferences that continues to expand, continues to add great programs, and before those programs arrive, you're also going to be able to say, hey, look, those teams are coming to us in the Big Ten. We are the rich getting richer. We are not the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, who are going to continue to disintegrate in the Big East, which is already an afterthought.
I'm trying to decipher how that's as big of an advantage as you're making it out to be. As someone who was recruited, right? If I'm going to a school that's in the Big Ten, whether you've been there for 10 to 15, 40 years or not, or you literally just got added to it, it's all about what you can do for me as a recruit now. It becomes what can you offer me? Is it playing time? Is it money? Like, what are those things? That's what kids care about. It's not like, oh, you've been in the Big Ten for 40 years. Oh, that's great. I want to come to your school now.
But you just said it. The Big Ten is only going to increase their exposure. They're only going to increase the money that they can spend.
And so all the schools that are joining can use the same elements of what you're saying, too. We have increased exposure. We have all, like, yeah. TCU, all the other schools.
But you said it yourself, even though you were closer to the coach at Brad Stevens at Butler, you wanted to play in front of the big lights.
And now all of those now Butler is a school that would be competitive and that I would want to go to. No.
Not for long as you have these massive conferences.
They don't have football. But you get where I'm going.
I do, but that's my point, is that Wisconsin is on the in. And during all of this change, you want to make sure that you're part of the winners and not part of the losers. And this guarantees that Wisconsin is part of the winners. As long as they can get in the game, they're going to find a way to succeed in the way that Wisconsin succeeds. Do they need to evolve in certain ways? Absolutely. But the addition of these teams, to me, is only a positive because it establishes that the Big Ten are winners and not losers. The Pac-12 are losers. Imagine being Washington State right now, or the University of Washington, and you're panicking right now thinking, oh crap, where are we going to land? Are we going to try to sell ourselves to the Big 12 or the Big 10 or as Ben likes to call them, the B.I.G.?
The B.I.G.
Can we make it all the way to the SEC?
I mean, the Pac-12 network has to dissolve.
Yeah, I mean, as the conference dissolves, so will the Pac-12 dissolve, but it's going B-I-G. To give you opportunities. And Ryan and Sheboygan says, regarding NIL, you can say that these teams in Los Angeles can offer more, which I think is a little bit of a misnomer, because Wisconsin certainly has the alumni base to be able to contribute
we
if they figure out the
elsewhere.
Process. He continues, but what about that guy who would be 13th on the scale there or be the man in Madison? Maybe there's more to offer in Madison for those kids. Now, that's where you start to build out the differentiating points of coming to UW versus those other schools, but at least you're in consideration still for those top-end talents because you're in on the winners.
Have you ever thought about being a recruiter?
Me? I'd be a great recruiter.
I know. You would get everyone to come to the state of Wisconsin to play football. You would be amazing at it.
Pete in Maguanago chimes in, says, the Ben is Great Conference, the B-I-G Conference. Is that where you were going with it?
Yeah. I mean, like, is great. I love. Now, Ben, I don't have anything to do with the conference, so we need to figure out something new.
Speaking of conference names, let's welcome in John in Kewaskum on the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. John, welcome to Scalzo and Russ. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I like Ben's idea of rebranding, and I was thinking the C2C conference, meaning coast to coast, because you got Maryland all the way up to UCLA.
Ooh,
I
love that.
I don't hate it.
That is a baller name.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you for the call.
Coast to coast, 800-990-3776.
It's the SEC versus the C2C rivalry tonight on ABC.
CTC.
Oh.
It's a double entendre, too, because it's literally a C2. Well, I guess they're oceans, not seas, huh?
Well, we say sea to shining sea here on Scalzo and Brust.
800-990-3776. Do you think we invented that from sea to shining sea?
No, it's okay. It's in a lot of patriotic songs.
Yes, God Bless America is the song you're
That's
thinking
the
of
one,
right
baby.
Now. Let's welcome in Brian in Lake Mills. Brian, you're live on the air with Scalzo and Brust. What do you got?
I got a recruiting question. Obviously, a kid that's coming to Wisconsin is going to be extremely happy that they're going to get to go and play out in California. But try to tell me how a 2023-2024 football recruit for USC and UCLA are now going, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to be playing in what temperatures in late October, November, and early December? So could that actually be something that maybe those studs are maybe going to go, you know what, Oregon looks a little bit better. Or, hey, I'm going SEC because it's warmer. So just kind of thoughts on that.
Thank you for the call.
I think if any athlete looked and said, oh, it's too cold for me to play there, then
they don't
belong in Division I football as it is. Because guess what? If those players are that good and they have NFL aspirations, you don't get to choose where you play in the NFL. So you better get used to playing in some cold
weather. Plus, one of the greatest advantages that the coaches use at Wisconsin is you bring all the recruits out in the summer. You take them around campus. You take them to the terrace. And you just fall in love. That's when I fell in love with Madison. When I went to team camp my sophomore year, I was on State Street by the Tower Apartments, and I was like, this place freaking rocks. And then you go in the Kohl Center, and then they take you to the terrace, and you're like, I don't want to go anywhere else. And I didn't have a choice. I couldn't come to Wisconsin. They filled up the two scholarships, but guess what? As fate put it, I decommitted from Iowa when the coach got fired, a scholarship opened up, and I'm still sitting here in the great state of Wisconsin. Like the A.J. Dillons of the world. A.J. Dillon grew up in Boston College. Like, that's a bad one. He actually knew what it was like to be in the cold. But look at how someone like A.J. Dillon, who plays for the Packers, has embraced the state of Wisconsin, is the king of Door County.
Aaron Jones, who's from El Paso, which is about as far south as you could go in this
Aaron Rodgers loves playing in December.
TJ from the road chimes in, 800-990-3776. Is it a good or bad thing for the Badgers to add USC, UCLA in conference expansion within the Big Ten? Stanford, Oregon, TCU, all expected to join at some point as well, or reported to at least have interest. TJ from the road chimes in, it's a scheduling and travel for teams going out to the to California is not going to be a whole lot of fun during the regular season.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think it's going to be great for a lot of people to travel if you're in the Midwest to the places that it's warmer. My favorite trips as an athlete was going to Las Vegas to play UNLV in a conference game or in a non-conference game in November. Imagine going to USC and UCLA. We get excited to go to the Rose Bowl one time. Imagine going there consistently. It's going to be amazing for the kids.
I don't know if this is all about the kids, because in the end, like, somebody's going to have an exam on a Wednesday and they're going to have a Tuesday night game playing basketball.
You figure it out. It's not about the students anymore. They don't care. They'll find a way to get enough grades to play.
That is true. It is not necessarily about the student and student athlete anymore. We'll continue to talk conference expansion, what it means to the Badgers in the Big Ten. We've got 1-0 coming up next, live from Summerfest. It is Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Brust.
What do you mean by training your body to like spicy things? That's a weird way to put
it. I really enjoy spicy things now, but I didn't eat spicy things until I got to college. Like, spicy things were never in...
You had to train your body? Like, didn't you just like eating it when you tried it?
No, it was, like, hot. Like, I was like, I don't know if I like this tingly thing that's in my mouth.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I can't stop wondering just what you got. Get the feeling I'm gonna find out real soon. Still out.
Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light, live from Summerfest. He is Benny Badger, Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. You, the Scalzo and Brust family, calling us, texting us, 800-990-3776 on Twitter, at Scalzo and Brust. And a gorgeous Grateful Dead Thursday again, right next to the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all Sports Zone, where Ben and a couple of former Badgers will be competing against Marquette and UWM come next Friday. A chance to win some money for a desired charity. Ben and the Badgers going for guarding against cancer, something very close with the two of us. News of the day, Kevin Durant demanding a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. We'll see how that shakes out, whether it's a benefit or to the detriment of the Milwaukee Bucks. The Big Ten adding USC and UCLA and the potential for a automated strike zone in baseball. Kind of a lot of news going on for Thursday here in July. Let's hit a few of these. For a Thursday in June, let's hit a few of these
Necessary details. I'm sorry.
Let's hit a few of these here in one or zero on Scalzo and Frost.
Not going to cut you off.
Are you a one or a zero? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a one or a zero.
Ooh, baby, my pits are sweating.
Show
Ben
us on
Russ,
the stream.
Constantly complaining here on Scalzo and Bross. He is one of your contestants. You have no pit stains in there whatsoever.
No
pit stains at all.
Do you?
No, I don't. He is Ben Bross. I'm Greg Scalzo. We're your contestants for Under Zero. Josh DiMaggio, your host. He asks us a question. We say one for yes, zero for no. There is no gray area. Josh, you take it away.
According to reports, Kevin Durant has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. One or zero. The Bucks should give up all they can to pair Giannis and Durant.
I mean, one, if they can. I just don't know. I don't know if KD wants to go to another team where he's not the alpha. One. Two, I don't know if the Bucks have enough to entice the Nets to trade him to Milwaukee.
Yeah, they don't. The answer is they don't have the assets to trade him. But I think the bigger point is what you just made. Kevin Durant's the guy. And, like, he's going to be the guy everywhere he goes, except if he played in Dallas, it's Luka's team. And even if he went to Dallas, he would trump Luka. You know what I mean? Like, I honestly think the Lakers, he would trump LeBron.
He would trump
at
LeBron
this point.
Right now,
like,
yeah.
He would not trump Giannis. Giannis has been in this city since he was drafted in 2013. Chris Middleton has been in this city for longer than Giannis. Those two together have made up the core foundation of the Bucks. I don't even think. And call me crazy, because a lot of people, you can make every argument in the world that Kevin Durant paired with Giannis would be better for the Bucks. I don't think this front office would do it. I really don't. Even if provided the opportunity, I don't think the front office would do it.
If they could get him on the right deal, of course they would. It would be criminal if they didn't. You're saying if you could trade Chris Middleton...
Drew Holiday?
Again, but that's where the contracts don't work.
I know, but like throw contracts out for a second. And you're taking away the two best players other than
those
Giannis.
Those two straight up for Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
That's an interesting conversation to have. I still think you do it. I really do.
I don't.
Pairing those two guys together would be unbelievable. It would mean you've got a little bit more money to be able to spend elsewhere to build out some more depth on that team. But you'd have the two best players in the NBA on your team. That's a recipe for a championship if ever there was one.
Yeah, I disagree. I think with what the Bucks have built, the roles that everyone's been identified with, you'd be breaking up everything that they've built in terms of trying to become a championship dynasty.
Yeah, but they're not. They haven't been a championship
dynasty. I'm saying they're in their window to do that in the next 3 years with Holiday, Middleton, and Giannis.
And they're one of those teams that can be a champion. If they get Kevin Durant and pair him with Giannis, they would be a champion. Even if you lose Drew and you lose Chris Middleton. I mean,
it's an interesting question. It's unrealistic, but it's
completely unrealistic. But if you could figure it out with a third team, which would be required to make it all work, then all of a sudden you open up more salary to be able to find a point guard. And you'd have a team that
Kevin
everyone
Durant
went off.
Like,
Kevin
so
Durant
good,
is
man.
Unbelievable.
He's
You're talking about a
shot
creator.
And he's the best shot maker in the world.
And you've got Giannis, who is
the best
attacker
all-around
of the rim.
Player in the world.
Yes. You're saying you wouldn't do that?
It's hard. It's just hard to break up the band, man.
It is hard to break up the band. But if there's anybody to break up the band for, Kevin Durant is that guy. Next, Joshy.
Today, news broke that USC and UCLA may be joining the Big Ten with Stanford, Oregon, Kansas, and TCU also mentioned as possible names to follow suit. One or zero. The Badgers risk getting left behind in an expanding Big Ten conference.
Zero. I don't... I look, This conversation, believe it or not, happened when they expanded the first time. And they added Maryland, and they added Nebraska, and you added Rutgers. Not Rutgers.
Really just Nebraska and Maryland.
But the fear was that this would propel Nebraska back to greatness, and that Maryland, with Under Armour at their back, would be the modern-day Oregon with Nike at their back. None of that's happened. No matter what has changed, Wisconsin continues to trudge on because they're different than a lot of programs, and they have a point of differentiation that no other team is willing to match. They've got a walk-on program that nobody is ever going to match.
They're able to keep every single offensive lineman that's in the state, basically in the state.
They do a great job keeping guys in the state. They're already competing against USC and UCLA on a certain level. Just because they're now in the same conference, it doesn't mean they're going to recruit any less. And the USC's and UCLA's haven't been as consistent as they were decades ago. So, I think if anything that adds a little bit more shine to what Wisconsin will be able to offer recruits, I think it is a net positive for the Wisconsin Badgers and the University of Wisconsin.
I'm going to stick with my guns here. I still go with one here. You're adding more teams. You're adding more money into the conference. And when it comes to a recruiting standpoint, recruiting ultimately is the difference of if you are going to be a top-tier team or not. And the Badgers had one really good season of recruiting a couple years ago. Now they're back to kind of how they've been, and they're consistently good. But, like, I don't know. I want to see them actually grow within the recruiting ranks.
Do you think they recruit worse because you're adding more good teams into their conference? I think, if anything, you recruit better.
I think it's hard to give a point when someone screams your name. It feels kind of cool.
Cool.
He's got a sweet mullet, too. Sleeve tattoo that I want to get that I never will get. Good guy.
Heck yeah.
Josh.
Hit next, yeah.
Taco Bell is testing out a new item called the... Taco Bell is testing out a new item called the Big Cheez-It Tostada, which is a tostada that features a 16 times larger Cheez-It inside the item. One or zero.
Yeah.
Cheez-Its are a Mount Rushmore salty snack.
I'm not even going to justify this with a response. I'm sick of this.
This is a 0-0-0-0-0.
Taco Bell, all of these stop with the gimmicks. None of this is good.
What about the ballpark?
It's all a marketing play, and Josh DiMaggio falls for it all the time. Like, hey, this is a fun news story, and then we end up talking about it and giving Taco Bell exactly what they want. Nobody's going to Taco Bell and saying, can I have the Cheez-It Tostada? No shot.
I can ask some people out in Summerfest if they like the Cheez-It Tostada.
Nobody's heard of it except for, oh, I saw that on the news, and it's probably available in very limited supply.
No, Josh, where did you find this story? Because I don't even believe it's on the news.
It's all over the news. You can find it on any website.
And by the news, we're saying, yeah, social media. Like, that's what they do, is we're going to create this wild, crazy, wacky concept. We're going to put it out to the world, and we're going to let people talk about it as a way to market and advertise, right? Now, I understand, because you're asking us about Cheez-Its and not the actual Taco Bell. Cheez-Its, not a Mount Rushmore salty snack.
Cheez-It Toasties, you're getting closer.
Closer, but still not a Mount Rushmore salty snack.
Goldfish.
Goldfish are up there.
Whoa.
Goldfish Trump Cheez-It.
Goldfish over the Cheez-It?
Goldfish Trump Cheez-It.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Greg and I are big Cheez-It Toasty fans and like Cheez-Its, but like, there's just something about Goldfish.
The amount of Cheez-It Toasties that we ate during the pandemic was unhealthy.
Like, Greg and I did the show from his house. I'd come over for, like, recess during the pandemic, and I'd do the show, and his wife was the best. She was pregnant, and she was bringing us up snacks. Like, we should have been feeding her, and she was feeding us.
Good deal.
My toasty habit got so out of line that I instituted a self-ban. Just can't buy them because I just chow them all down.
Yeah, that's the tough part, is once you start getting into those snacks, you just can't stop, right? That's the Pringles slug, and once you pop, you just can't stop. I might even put Pringles ahead.
As a guy who snacks a lot, you lose all credibility.
You're not thinking about Mount Rushmore in the right way. You guys are going with the newfangled.
We talk about. I just went with Goldfish.
I know Goldfish is up there. That is a bona fide Mount Rushmore salty snack. I don't want to talk about that. There's too many good things happening in the world of sports. The Big Ten expanding the conference. USC, UCLA going to be joining. Kevin Durant requests that a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. talk about that next on Scalzo and Brust. Live from Summerfest, we are presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
When would I have learned that? I didn't take anatomy.
I mean, you probably would have learned it just in basic biology.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Biology I wasn't good at.
General curiosity.
Why would I have general curiosity?
Didn't you have a knee injury in high school?
No, I broke my ankle. Tibia.
Why would I have general curiosity?
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light, live from Summerfest. Kevin Durant requesting a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Durant and Kyrie Irving expected to dominate the Eastern Conference when they joined forces, adding James Harden. Everyone was shaking in their boots except for your Milwaukee Bucks. They end up knocking them off, in my opinion, just ruined that dynasty there. In Game 7, or I guess a dynasty to be, because they only won one playoff series. Think about that. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving team up, joining the Brooklyn Nets on a super
James
team.
Harden.
At James Harden, and they won one playoff series, a colossal failure
who
for
they beat?
Brooklyn.
It was the Knicks Hawks in the first round. Who did the Nets beat?
I mean, I'm not sure, but I doubt they were a very
Boston.
Good team.
The next year.
They might have beaten Boston the year before. It does not matter.
Our point is proven by the fact that we don't even know who they beat, and they were supposed to be something forever.
Kevin Durant looks like the teams that are expected for him to join. Right now, the betting favorite is the Phoenix Suns, followed by the Miami Heat.
Odds are wavering like crazy,
if
though.
Durant leaves and goes to the Western Conference, that's nothing but a positive for this Bucks team, yes?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you're going to have to beat somebody good in the finals no matter what.
If he goes to Miami, to me, that is a bad thing. I would rather have him toiling away with Kyrie and whatever experiment they're doing with Ben Simmons in Brooklyn than I would going into that culture, pairing up with a Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra coaching that team as a final ode to an aging Pat Riley as his last chance to put together a championship. That scares me. That storyline, those two guys together, that culture, and I hate the idea of even using the word culture when talking about the Miami Heat, but it is real. Like, that actually scares me. And so I am rooting with every fiber of my being for him to move on to the Western Conference, because if it's between those
two
teams.
That's the path of least resistance too for KD. And if we know anything about KD, path of least resistance is the way he goes.
Yeah, so I think it's I get worried that he is going to leave this Nets team, because I feel really good with him in Brooklyn about where the Bucks stand within the Eastern Conference and among the NBA.
If he stays with the Nets, the Bucks are already winning. Like, they're winning right now from the fact that Kyrie was like, I don't know if I'm opting in. Kevin Durant's like, I think I want to trade.
Agree.
They ain't going to beat the Bucks in a 7-game series like it is presented right now. But I will say this, as you pose the question, if he goes to the Nets, or if he goes to the Suns, rather, you and I, not worried. If he goes to the Heat, I think it's a bad thing, but I don't think it's an earth-shattering thing, and I'll tell you why. Because the Bucks have created a continuity within the team that is so different than any team amongst the NBA. They have Pat Connaughton taking a player option because he's trying to be team-friendly. They have Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, along with Brook Lopez, who have won a championship together, and they continue to build around the core. Even to the standpoint, I don't know what Marjan Beauchamp's going to do for the Bucks, if anything, this year, but he fits what the organization is trying to do and continuing to build on. And that is a culture of their own, a culture that's homegrown. Nobody's leaving for just jumping ship. They have figured out how to win as a team. And again, we'd be talking about them as potential two-time champions if Chris Middleton does not get hurt. Potential.
Potential.
So you're in the mix every single year with this team. I'm not worried about a guy who continues to bop around everywhere to think he's just going to fit into Heat culture.
I think if there's anybody who fits in wherever he goes, it's Kevin Durant. We
saw
it with the Warriors. But I think in general, it doesn't matter. I by and large, I believe in organizational continuity and organizational consistency. I do think that if everybody knows the role on a team and everybody does their job correctly, then your team can be greater than the sum of its parts, and I think the Bucks discovered that during their championship run. I throw all of that out the window when you're talking about the amount of talent that we're talking about now.
I know we're talking about a lot of talent, but we're also talking about a lot of talent that joined a team that did win a world championship without him and a world championship without him after he was with them. So now, what has he done? What has he...
You're taking it away from Kevin. Kevin Durant brought an insanely young OKC team.
That's great.
At least to the conference finals.
And what has he done with more talent than that OKC team with the Nets?
He hasn't had it. He hasn't had a playoff series. They haven't played more than... They haven't played together. Kyrie and Kevin Durant haven't been on the same court together. The worst thing
Kyrie's
that he did,
fault.
His biggest mistake, was choosing the wrong guys to team up with.
Yeah,
so
that's
you're blaming
fine.
Him for that.
I will. Ultimately, wherever he's gone, he has not found success in the Warriors.
He's had two seasons with the Nets.
Yeah.
Since he left the Warriors. Two seasons. One of them was completely killed by
injuries.
And I'm saying, even the year against Milwaukee when they got bounced, Milwaukee was great. But a big reason was those three guys weren't playing together when you talk about Kyrie, Durant, and Harden. And then this past year, they were a broken team once again. They got rid of Harden. You had no Ben Simmons, and Kyrie was a shell of himself.
I'll tell you what, though. You got a good, good, good picture on how to defend Kevin Durant in the playoffs. Beat the crap out of him.
But you could say the same thing. What did Giannis do without Chris Middleton this year?
He took the Celtics to seven.
And he lost
Durant
to the Celtics.
Durant got swept.
By the Celtics.
Swept. And Giannis took his team to seven.
I think that you have an argument for organizational stability. I think you making it out to be that Kevin Durant isn't a top three, if not the best or the second
you
best player in the league.
You can be skilled and talented, but not be a guy that you are a winner on.
You're going to get out of here with that. I don't buy into that. I think Kevin Durant is
I
think Kevin Durant is a winning basketball player. I don't even believe that you believe what you're saying.
He's Kevin Durant struggled with the USA basketball team until Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton showed up.
Now you do not believe that.
You do not believe that. I don't know if they would have won the gold medal without Drew
Holiday. But you do not believe that those guys are even in the stratosphere of Kevin Durant. Like, you're having a little bit of fun right now, which I'm fine with, but this idea that Kevin Durant isn't a winning player because he couldn't get it done with Kyrie Irving, who wasn't available, and nobody else on the Nets, is asinine. Like, you're trying to pretend that Kevin Durant isn't a Giannis-quality player? That's like 2 years ago before Giannis won it all the dumb talking heads talking about how Giannis can't be the best player on a championship team.
Yeah,
have you heard that take before?
Yeah,
because you had that take.
Yeah, but
now you're acting like it's the same thing with Kevin Durant.
But I had that take being wrong and stupid, talking about a guy who was 25 and 26. You win your championships when you're 27 to 34,
and
that's where
Kevin Durant is in that zone, and he won a championship already. I can tell that we're already putting Ben Brust in a spot where I don't like your mindset right now heading into a hotly contested Are You Smarter Than Ben Brock?
Oh, no, I'm feeling
because
great.
Because we have Ben right here, and you're not in the right headspace. I think you need to take a little bit of a time out right now, collect your thoughts, because the fact that you going into this segment or going with the take of Kyrie or Kevin Durant isn't that good is not the right headspace.
I said he's very
talented.
He just might not be the winner everyone thinks he is.
800-990-3776. Ben Brust going up against what is a University of Penn mother, UPenn mom, going up against Ben Brust. This match happened last year in Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust?
Wiped her clean like the Bucks did this Kevin Durant.
Whoa!
Rematch next on Scalzo and Brust.